everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Yo, That's Gay. My name is Danny, and we are here to have a good time.
I like that entrance.
It's our new jingle. No, it's not. No one wants to hear my voice at the beginning of anything.
We need to chop the audio and add it to everything now. And this is going to be a part that that's our jingle.
Can we make our jingle? That's our jingle.
Yes.
That's yes. Gay.
Ouch, my lung. That, I am here for that. Let's make that our jingle. I'm here for it. And play in the most inappropriate of times.
So how are you? Introduce yourself.
I am fantastic because today I am going to be Edward James Almost. And if you don't know who that is, Google it. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, that's all you're going to say? Okay.
All I'm going to say. Great movies. Great movies, great show, great books. We'll see. But, you know, everything's been pretty good. You know, live in the world post third vaccine, which I'm like, okay, I'm finally at the mark where I guess I'm fully vaccinated. And I don't have anything to worry about. I haven't gotten any Resident Evil powers, so I'm upset about that.
Aw.
I know.
They're coming.
I really wanted superpowers. Like, I wanted superpowers.
I got 5G, so.
See, I didn't even get that yet. I didn't get the 5G yet. And I want to be an X-Men, but I don't want to look like an X-Men. I just want to be a person who has powers.
Oh, you don't want a physical mutation.
I would not mind a physical mutation. I want arms, I want all that shit. I don't want to look like a character who's trying to be dark and twisty, but a superhero at the same fucking time. That's what I don't want.
I don't believe it.
It's okay.
You don't want to be a Morlock.
I don't. Why would I want to be that?
Because the Morlocks are, well, I guess... I don't know.
Again, there's nothing wrong with their character. That just doesn't fit me. You look like an X-Men. It's like, no, I just want to look like a normal, everyday mutant, whether I have a mutation that's physical or not, just enjoy my life. But the X-Men, they stick out like sore fucking thumbs, no matter where they are.
I think that's the clothes. That's the fashion.
Yes, it is cool mutant fashion, but it's like, fuck, I don't want to have that and not be able to just blend in as just, hey, a walking tree. If
that's See, I don't connect with you there because I want a reason to wear a cape to work. So.
Okay. Okay, I can see it. I can see it. It's worth it. How are you? What are the things going on?
Well, I feel like the last month kind of just flew by. And I feel like a lot's happened, but a lot hasn't happened. It's all the same. Like, everything's the same, but a lot of, like, things have changed. But I feel like work's going well. I've been going through some changes at work that are positive. So I'm happy with the day-to-day I'm experiencing on that aspect. On the other end, I haven't really spent a lot of time, so I did go and I talked to my therapist about this, because, like, blah, 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 mental health, you know.
It's worth it.
But yeah, so, like, I went through, like, a depression bout where I felt like I just didn't want to get up and I didn't have energy. And it's like, I wanted to want to do stuff, but I didn't want to do stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, I wanted to want it.
The thought was there, it just was not physically happening.
Yeah. It's like, I wish I had the desire to take a shower.
I get it.
Yeah. But that was a rough period, but that seems to have dwindled down. Okay. So I think it's been going a lot better.
Nice. Okay.
Happy. How about you?
On the horizon. You know, honestly, I'm happy where things are right now, where life is kind of normalizing. Now that I'm 33... which isn't a huge transition, but it was nice to celebrate it, to be like, oh, okay, another year of this. And it's not bad. It's actually kind of tolerable in a way. And I'm kind of on this self-discovery, figuring out how to healthily entertain a relationship, but not put a label on it just yet.
Mm-hmm.
I have benched my roster. I benched them, and it's a sad day. It's a very sad day. I don't know what the sports term is once you take them off the bench and get them back, and you know, whatever it is, what's the game that you do? So I don't know about that, but right now it's okay. I mean, I'm in that stage of, have you ever had that stage where you're like entertaining somebody you like, but then you immediately are starting to think, well, shit, I can't fuck him anymore. I can't fuck him anymore because we've had a conversation that says openness is not what it's going to be about. And so now I'm just like, okay, before I feel like I have to be obligated to not fuck somebody, I'm going to voluntarily stop fucking them.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's a test run. It's a trial run.
Yes. It's a trial run. It's a trial run, and I think so far they have my credit card information for the dollar charge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to cut it off before the full charge right now.
Well, so let me ask you this. Do you like him, or do you like him like him?
See, I like him. I like him, I do. But I easily find it so much more enjoyable sometimes to just be left the fuck alone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess this is not something for him to be accustomed with. It's like, hey, we're in it together and we're going to talk all the time. It's like, well, can I just go to sleep?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk. Like, we'll talk on Tuesday. It's Sunday. Leave me alone.
Well, I think one of the biggest issues that I've struggled with in my relationship is that I just have a bitch face. I don't like to smile. So it's always like, are you upset? I'm like, no, I'm okay. I just look like this. I just look like this.
It's just your baseline.
And I'm just kind of like, I don't want, like, I have no reason to be smiling right now. I'm not sad, but I'm not overly joyous.
You're just you. You're just you. I feel
it's like when people are like, aren't you having fun? I'm like, this is how I have fun.
Yes. I like to have fun by standing in the corner sometimes. Just let me do that. That's it. It's fine. I'm excited to see where it's going to go. I'm not going to speak bad about it because it's not something that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I do, however, need to hopefully eventually find a way to get over this thing where I just get bored and go fuck other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to figure this one out.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe like exploring like where that desire comes from, because like I feel like for me that desire just comes from like the desire to do things I enjoy. So it's like for me having like various partners, it's kind of like, oh, it's I don't want to say sex is not like intimate or important, but it's the type of thing where I don't feel like I need to restrict that to one person in order to validate my love or relationship to that one person. But I get how, like, for some people, that's not what they want. And it's just, I don't know, it's just, how do you compromise those two things? Because they're, like, is it like, well, maybe once a year you get your hall pass? Or, like,
I would personally love that. Because I would make that one time of the year the night.
Yeah.
This is the night of all nights. Like, purge night. Babe, I don't know if I'm going to see you in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
If I make it home before the alarm. Let's just figure it out. It feels like something I can do. And I can anticipate and try.
That would be so romantic to be like, oh, like, you go get your brains railed out by, like, 20 different guys. Mm-hmm. And I'll go murder a few people. And then that's like you each have your hall pass. You know what I mean? My hall pass is that I commit just casual murder.
I feel because it makes me feel alive. It's very, like, I would personally love that kind of relationship. That would be fucking perfect. I'm the pamphlet.
Maybe girl. Without the murder.
Without the murder, yes, no murder. That's a lot to cover up. So, I mean, do it on your own time.
For reference, I'm just kidding. I learned to say that from John Mulaney.
I love that.
In case y'all ever choose to read these jokes back in court.
Yes, there's not everything is only for entertainment purposes. I'm the pamphlet girl. That's the problem. I am the pamphlet girl. I am gonna come home to my partner, but I don't even have sex because I think it's intimate. I just see a new pamphlet and I want to see what it's about. I literally would love my partner to just be like, oh, you want to fuck them just because, yes. I just saw this person 3 seconds ago and I want to see what they taste like. Can I go do that? And we're still going home together. That's it. Like, there's no purpose to me for me of, like, intimacy. It's just like, I just want to fuck them and just see.
Yeah, it's just like, it's kind of... Well, I was going to say it's kind of like an amusement park ride, but you don't like amusement park rides. Which is kind of like, I want to go on this. I want to go on this ride. I am tall enough.
It's that one roller coaster you saw in the park. You're like, I'm going to get on that bitch. I hate them, but I'm going to get on it. Okay, I get it. Because I would do that.
Alright, so... Anything else before we get into our topic today?
No, I don't have anything else.
Well, I'll let you introduce the topic then.
So our topic tonight is Dracula. Dragula.
Dragula.
She's
the killer.
Was it nasty? They don't say nasty.
No.
You know, it sounds like something that should be there though, because Dracula is a nasty and delicious show all at the same time.
Yeah, I love Dracula. I mean, well, I think, first of all, we need to explain what Dracula is in case anyone out there doesn't know.
Yes.
So what is Dracula?
So Dracula is a reality competition. Reality meaning it's actually happening. These competitions occur in real life on TV. And it's for drag queens, but... And I use the term loosely spooky drag because there is a spooky element to some drag and then others it's kind of a demented. Some it's like a gross factor. Some it's live performance. It's all different types of drag that come into this scary umbrella.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even say it's competition for drag queens because they have like all types of drag performers. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to compare it to RuPaul's Drag Race because it's a completely different structure and a different concept, but in the sense that you are competing for a crown and a prize, and you are trying to outdo all the other performers. So Dracula is based on the three foundations, glamour, filth, and horror. So that's what they look for in their super monsters. And right now they're getting ready to start season 4. So talk to me about what you watched, what you haven't watched, and what you hope for season 4.
So I've seen season 2, season 3, and Resurrection, which was kind of like a All-Stars, but get back into the main competition show.
Mm-hmm.
Season 2, I really enjoyed. I feel like, because I didn't get a chance to see season 1, that was my baseline of starting. And I know that it looks completely different from some of the clips that I've seen of season 1,
mm-hmm.
which still in all, it's an amazing series. Season 3 was the real first season where I really got invested in the characters and the cast.
Okay.
And I really fell in love with the show because there were some things that I found that were pretty, I wouldn't even say problematic, kind of just annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But then really good at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I started with Dracula season 2, 3. Then I went back to watch season 1, which season 1, the reason why it's not on like Netflix or anything is because it was made on YouTube and it aired on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still find it on YouTube on the Hey Queen TV YouTube page.
Ah.
Yeah, apparently they aired under Hey Queen TV for like when they first started, and now they're on TV, actual TV.
See, that's awesome. I'd love to see that transition.
Yeah. So I lost my train of thought. Where was I going?
So what you've seen.
Oh, what I've seen, yeah. So I went back and I saw season 1, and I've also seen Resurrection. So I've seen all of them so far. I'm really excited for season 4. I think a few things. So, because the prize money is bigger this time around, I'm wondering if queens or performers who wouldn't have really considered themselves monsters are now like, I'm a monster. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Not
They have
saying
thought
that
about
you
that.
might not, that you can't do monster drag or that you're not a monster. Like, who am I to say? But, like, is the money why?
Is the money the factor, or are you here because you want to be a part of this expression?
Right.
That's what I see. And there's some queens we're going to talk about because there are some that stick out to me like a sore thumb that I have seen on the show and in the promos for this new season where I'm like, I don't know. And it's not even just based on the drag look itself, it's the actual persona and vibe that I get from the person where it's kind of like, are you really here for this moment?
Yeah, and I caught myself, and I learned after, especially after watching season one, because in season one they kind of have this whole big discussion with Melissa B. Fierce about how she was told coming into this competition, like, you're not a real monster, you're not a real monster, you're not a real monster. Why are you doing this? You're a pageant queen. And she's like, yeah, I'm that too, but like, she made it to top three and she did really good. And she showed everyone that was like, even to me at first, I was like, I don't know if she's really a monster, but it's like, I guess anyone can be a monster. It's just like, what drives you to be a monster?
Yeah, like you can tell, even like in Drag Race, you can tell when somebody's there for the purpose of winning the competition, for their brand, or for their name. You can like clearly tell the difference. And sometimes, like, even I'll say when I was watching season two, there was one queen, James, I think it was.
James Majesty.
Yeah, James Majesty, who at first when I was watching, I was like, no, this is kind of just a look queen. I don't really get anything from her. And then watching her further in the series, I was like, okay, she's got looks and it feels like this is what she loves to do. This isn't just something that's plastered on her to look the gimmick of whatever she thinks
Yeah,
the
I
show should
think
be.
that entrance look maybe was a little bit more like sparkly
Yeah.
for James than you would have thought an entrance look would have been for Dragula. But I guess at the same time it kind of goes to show that one, any you don't know what who's gonna turn out what. But two, also, I mean, the idea that it's like, yeah, they're looking for a monster, but a monster doesn't just mean scary. Again, they're kind of looking for like all three of those pillars. What is it? Glamour, filth, and horror. But like, I think of, for example, like Erica Clash. Erica Clash isn't scary, like her character in itself is not scary. Sometimes some of her characters do come out very scary and dark, but it's more about just more of it being a non-mainstream type of drag and appreciating something kind of out of the box, maybe.
Yeah.
Or is it out of the box? Because out of the box kind of sounds like cookie
It
cutter.
kind of does. I would say it's your
Out of
own
the norm.
vibe. Yeah, out of the norm, something like that. Because I think of the one queen, and I can't think of her name now, but she did a lot of anime-inspired looks in season three. And there's one that she did. She was like a fox that was supposed to be scary, but it looked very anime and cartoonish. And I thought it was a cool look. So I love seeing those differences. I can't remember her damn name off the top of my head right now.
Are you sure it's not Erica Clash in season two?
Erica, what does Erica Clash look like?
Teeny little thing.
Yes, it is Erica Clash.
Okay.
Okay, yes, because she did the damn box. Yes. So like I think of her looks where I'm like, ooh, I like these things. They would also flow on what would be in air quotes a mainstream show. But I do love the inspiration that's behind the looks. And the one thing that I do like about the competition that they always say in every judging is we're not here to judge your drag. We're here to
Yeah.
actually judge what you've done in the
Yeah.
competition.
Right. It's like we're it's not just it's not your drag is bad, it's just maybe your drag doesn't fit
The challenge.
the challenge. You know what I mean? Or what's it called? The brief.
The brief,
The
yes.
brief.
I hate that in competition shows sometimes when they're like, we're going to the brief. And I'm like, what the fuck is a brief, girl? I don't feel like I've ever been briefed. I have been briefed on things. I had to think about our last job. Yeah, I've been briefed on many things. It's a bad word.
All right, so let's take a quick break here. We'll come back with getting more into some of our favorites, and we'll take it from there.
Welcome back, all of you useless filth who are listening. I like that. The word filth is good. It's filthy. You are also useless, but you're filth. So. Don't listen to
everyone's not into degradation, Andrew.
I know. So for the people who are out there, you are not filth. You are cherished and loved human beings, and I will hug you all. And the rest of you are filth. So I hope both groups get a good little, like, something from it. Okay, so let's talk about a little bit of Dragula characters. I'm always saying characters now for shows. Cast members that you really like that stuck out to you. What's some things that you saw, let's say, in the first seasons you saw nothing for this new one that's coming?
Okay, so I guess starting on season two, some of the people that initially really popped out to me, one was Erica Clash, just because she was colorful and bright when others weren't. I really like Abora, because Abora had like the little nose thing, and I thought that was like a very cute like branding, and like all the looks really like got pulled together by the nose.
They really did.
Her little nose, beak,
that beak thing, it really helped. Mm-hmm. A lot of her looks, the one that sticks out to me the most is the black and white clown with the nose, and that was a really good look with everything pulled together.
Mm-hmm. And then James Majesty, at first, like we were talking about earlier, I was like, I'm not sure. But as the season progressed, and especially like towards the finale, I think James did really good. I really liked the, well, I think this was actually the first look, other than the entrance look, but I think the first floor show was when James was like with the CD drive, mm-hmm, in their junk.
Yes, that was the very first one.
Yeah, I like that look. But not the entrance look, or I don't remember the promo look.
James's promo look? From what I remember, I think I saw one picture of it. It wasn't my favorite. I want to say it was the flowers. Was it the flowers?
I'm not sure.
No, she had on the green plastic thing. It looked terrible. This.
Oh, yes, yeah, that.
It looked terrible. I wasn't a fan of this. But my favorite look of James was with the flowers and the crystals, and it was kind of the Day of the Dead makeup she did.
Oh, yes, yeah, yes, yes. That was a good look, too.
Yeah, that was, like, my favorite look. I was like, I'm sold.
Who else from season two did you like as a standout?
Who else from season two? Victoria Black. I remember her. I liked her a lot.
Yeah.
I actually wanted her to win. And then there was one person, hang on, I'm actually looking on the cast list, who I always think of. Kendra Onyx. That's who it was. I liked Kendra's first, like, two looks, mm-hmm, because I thought they were, there's a concept, they were inspired. And then everything else kind of fell apart towards the rest of the competition, where I was like, man, nothing's really memorable at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That was another one of my favorites. And Monique Shane. Everything I loved about her, I started to dislike after I realized the mask was never going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was the same mask, same makeup, no real change to the aesthetic to fit the challenges. Mm-hmm. It was just like, here I am with my mask and something else I put on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the masks are uniquely difficult to pull off. And Monique was the first one to try that. But yeah, I think it was just very, like, even the makeup wasn't like a mug. It didn't look good on the mask.
It was like particularly when you get a Sharpie and draw on the
Like, some of the looks looked like better than others, I feel like, but like when she used actual makeup product, it didn't look as good.
Give me a Sharpie, a balloon, you would have Monique's face in every challenge. You could do that easily. I am excited, however, to hopefully see this other mask person we'll talk about in the new season.
Yes.
Change my perception of masks. Because, mm-hmm, like, I think of, like, Drag Race, there's been a few masks. I'm trying to think any other places in drag that I've seen mask on television that I can't put off the top of my head. But in live performances, I've seen people wear different types of masks. There's always a concept you can use to make it fun and switch up the mask look at the same time.
Right. Okay. What about, I know you're a big fan in season 2 of Disasterina.
Yes, I loved Disasterina. I think for Disasterina, my big thing... I'm sorry, I just got so confused. But I'll say this for Disasterina. My favorite part about her was every challenge she fucking enjoyed. It didn't seem like she was annoyed or pissed off by any fucking thing. It was just like, oh, this is a good challenge. I'm here for it.
Yeah, no, Disasterina is definitely hilarious. And I like the whole, like, hetero flexibility that he described himself as having. Because he was married to a cisgender woman.
Which is hot and all at the same time thoroughly confusing. But I'm here for it. I'm here to learn.
All right. So what about in season 3?
Season 3. Before I even look at the cast list, I would just say I remember a lot of things about that season because one of the very first episodes was incredibly problematic for me. I did not understand it. And I was like, okay, this is fucking weird. But do you want to talk about that or talk about the cast members first?
You start. You go.
Okay. So the one cast member that sticks out to me is Hallow Eve. And she had a problem with someone using the term fishy. And it turned into this whole intense discussion, not an argument, about how she said using fishy is a derogatory word, I guess, and brought up the concept of a vagina and pH balance and smell. And I'm like, okay, maybe the term fish came from that in whatever environment you existed in, but this has actually been a term that's been used by drag queens since the start of drag, and it's something that I don't really feel that should have been addressed and or changed in the show. And I think a few people still said it, but then I noticed after that there was a conscious effort to kind of cut out the word fishy from the season.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I definitely noticed that. And I don't know, I like think about it and I'm like, should I have a say in this discussion? Because I don't have a vagina. And I'm not, like, I guess personally, I don't think it is meant to be an offensive term. I always understood fishy just to be effeminate. I never associated it necessarily with, like, a vagina or a smell. But, yeah, I mean, I think that I would like to hear more people's take on it because nobody really commented on it.
Yeah, there wasn't much of a discussion.
Yeah, but also I think that being said, Hollow was one of two cast members who were assigned female at birth on that cast. So maybe they also didn't feel like they should be commenting. But I know, like, trans women, for example, that feel very empowered by that term.
Right.
And they also don't associate it to necessarily, like, having a vagina or the smell of a vagina, but more so with, like, femininity.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm just kind of up in the air about that.
It's always one that, when I think about it, because I've rewatched the episodes multiple times, and I'm just like, is this something that we change because of the culture of the actual performance art of drag? Or do we let it go and just see where it all lands, which kind of the show did in a way. See where everybody fell on each end of the spectrum. And then I noticed instantly after she was eliminated, fishy came up like 4 times in the show. So I was like, oh, okay, I guess we're back to the norm? But I don't know. So it was just interesting for me. It's the one thing that sticks out to me about that season as far as controversy, air quotes. Aside from that, the one thing that I did love more than anything, Landon Cider had probably the best looks I've ever seen when it comes to drag queen.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like floored. I was in heaven.
Yeah, no, I was definitely excited to see a drag king. And then Hollow was like not, or is non-binary. So there was more gender representation in season 3, which I was really happy about. And I think Landon definitely showed that Landon, the person, she is strong enough to play with the boys. You know what I mean? And, like, that's such a, like, a lame, like, old school, like, mentality. But, like, you know, but, like, people still think that way. It's, like, because drag is, like, a men's sport type of thing where it's, like, it's only for cis men. And it's, like, no, like, girls can do it, too.
Yeah. I love that we're seeing drag performers just in every spectrum. I'm loving it so much. So I'm excited to see what the next generation is going to keep bringing when it comes to performance.
Yeah.
You know, saying that also, that drag is inclusive for everybody. RuPaul, change your theme song. Change it. Like, give us a new theme song. Don't just change one fucking word and keep everything else the same. It's been 20 years, girl. Like, come on.
So, other people that I really liked on season three, I would say Priscilla Chambers. Definitely one of my favorites. I was personally rooting for Priscilla to win. But that's just because I think she did amazing. Who else? Dahlia did really good, I believe.
Yes.
And I do agree that for the whole, like, beginning half, she was like, well, like, my drag mom.
I remember hearing that so many times. Ugh.
And it's just, like, that personality of, like, okay, like, you're your own person. Be that.
We saw your mom. Let's see you. Let's see where you're at. I am excited to see more. From her specifically. Because I feel like, in like some of the queens I follow on Instagram, I like seeing their progress after the show. Mm-hmm. Then they revamp old looks from the show, or they do new things that they would have tried on the show and they hinted at, but then perfected it on their own. And I love seeing those things.
Mm-hmm.
And she's done some great things.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that was most, like, shocking to me of the whole season was the whole discussion regarding Hollow Eve using used tampons for her looks and not understanding why people were not comfortable with that. Like, honestly, for me, it's like, okay, it's a used tampon, but it's also, like, your blood, which, okay, like, not trying to, like, say anything, but, like, you treat blood like it's infectious.
Right.
Always. You are taught this. If you work in any healthcare facility, you are taught, if you see any blood, you assume it has something.
Mm-hmm. Universal precaution.
Yes. So it's like, it's the same way as, like, oh, maybe I wouldn't want someone to use poop in their performance. Maybe it just doesn't make me comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's not saying anything about, like, your drag's not real if you don't use real blood. I don't know, just like the whole message that was trying to get sent across. I was like, I get the fact that, okay, you wanted Dahlia to come up to you and, like, address this face to face. I get that part, but also, like, you have to understand why there was that hesitation too.
Right. There's the things that are there that just alone in acting scenarios, Hollywood, any place you're doing something, they're going to take OSHA standards very seriously. So I don't think even if the cast had been okay with it, the show would have let her do it just to protect all the crew members and everything. Like, just legally, it probably wouldn't have happened. But the thing that bothered me, like you said, is the conversation was brought up and I kind of felt like Hollow bulldozed their way through it, as opposed to saying, hey, well, let's meet at some mutual ground here. Because
mm-hmm.
there were other options that were available, and I'm still happy that they participated in the challenge. It just didn't seem, for some reason, this person could understand why blood is not okay,
mm-hmm.
especially when everyone's not okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. With that being said, though, I think Hollow is badass. Like, I really like that punk rock look that they had, and that was, like, I wouldn't say I'm not a fan. I don't follow. But I do think Hollow is a good artist.
My favorite Hollow look was the green moss and mold that they did. I forgot what challenge it was for, but they kind of looked like they had, like, this infection of just this green mold on their face. And I loved that look. That was my favorite one.
Got it. Anyone else from season 3 that you particularly want to talk about?
anything off the top of my head. Was there anybody else that really stuck out to me? You know what? Not one of the cast members, but in season 3, the Boulay brothers had my favorite looks of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Just like pretty much every episode, each look that they came out in, I fell in love with the 3rd season.
Nice. Now, between... let's back... Rewind, that's the word. Let's rewind a little bit. And let's talk about the winner of season 2. How do you feel about Bitch Pudding?
So, I like Bitch Pudding. I thought everything that she performed and did was great. I don't have a look that really sticks out of my head of Bitch Pudding that I fell in love with. I didn't fall in love with it, but at the final floor show, in her filth look, I think she did the janitor.
The janitor.
And that, I actually fell in love with the commitment. I was grossed the fuck out, but I remember I loved that performance.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. I think that was probably the grossest performance, but it was the most, like, you couldn't look away.
I was so grossed out by that mop bucket. And I was like, I can't. She's not going to do it. She's not going to do it. And I'm just sitting there watching, like, she did it.
Yeah, no, I think Bitch is definitely a knockout. And I think she definitely earned her win. And I think Bitch Pudding definitely deserves a lot of praise for the strides in digital drag, because the first big digital drag show was hosted by Bitch Pudding. And she invited a whole shitload of big names to do her digital drag, and then she started doing a lot of little names among all that to expose a lot of the queens. So that, like, all this, like, digital drag that came out of COVID, I feel like was really initiated. I mean, obviously, I'm sure there were people doing it on their stories and stuff, but, like, it became a big thing once they saw, like, all these big names doing digital drag on Bitch Pudding's show.
Bitch Pudding's digital drag, I remember you told me about it before, and I think that was the very first time I even heard of digital drag. So, she set a standard, which I'm very happy because it's changed the landscape.
Yeah. Yeah, it provided a lot of work to a lot of people. So, I think that was great.
I'm trying to think, was there anything else in season 2 or 3? Because I love Landon. It, pretty much every winner I've seen, I love. Now, I don't know who won season 1, but I think I may have seen a clip on YouTube of that person. So I've got to go back and rewatch.
So the winner of season 1 is Vander Van Odd. Mm-hmm. And she came back as a judge on season 2 in the finale.
Okay.
And... Yes. And then not on season 3, or maybe on season 3 actually, also. But Vander is amazing. From season 1, I think that was definitely a deserved win. And, like, Vander's so fucking smart in the way they talk and, like, present themselves and, like, the concepts and ideas they have. I'm a big fan of Vander, and that, I think that was a great way to start, like, the reign that is the drag super monster.
Love that. Now, I want to go to one of their shows. I want to find where they perform at and just find somebody from the show and I want to see their performance.
Yeah. They've been here in Rochester. Vander's been here. We didn't get to go, though. Bitch Pudding was here. And a couple other, I think, Dragula girls have been here.
Okay. Gotta check the girls out. I want to see some more shows this year. Now, is there anything you were looking forward to in this upcoming season? Having gotten in this last 3 seasons?
So, I feel like one of the big things that we kind of already talked about is the whole mask concept. I'm very excited for formaldehyde because I really liked the promo look Julie would drew me in.
Okay.
And that's a very, like, it's a different mask in the sense, like, Yoska's masks were always, like, big and, like, clowny and, like, jestery. Monique's was more of a sock. But, like, this mask is more of, like, a ghost face type of mask, right? Or, like...
I give it, like, a
or,
ghost
like,
face.
Oh, what's... who am I thinking of? Slipknot. Like, a Slipknot mask.
Definitely. Definitely Slipknot mask, like.
So I'm excited about that. I'm not really sure, but it looks like there's a lot of gender diversity in this cast. I think they might have cast a cis person or a cis woman.
I think so. Looking at the cast, and I don't have all of their gender identifiers up, but I think that there is a cisgender woman in the cast and possibly a trans woman. Mm-hmm. But I have to keep reading and look into it more.
Got it.
I don't want to label anybody yet.
Right. So, what is some of the stuff regarding season 4 that you're excited about or like worried about or want to talk about?
One thing that I'm excited about, Hope So Teratoma.
Mm-hmm.
I am hoping I get the anime drag I have finally been waiting to see.
Yeah.
Like the anime scary drag, I'll say it that way. Because a lot of the looks that I saw on her IG had that anime but still fashion-esque look that I love to see.
Mm-hmm.
And she does it really well. So nice. I'm really hoping to see something big.
Yeah, and I think they brought her from international, right?
I think so.
Because I don't think she was living in the United States. I might be wrong about that. It might have been someone else that they brought from overseas. But I'm not 100%.
I think it might be her, but again, I don't know either for sure. I do know she is of Asian descent.
Okay.
So I'm just super excited to see her from Mount High, like you said. And then I'm excited to see Coco Kane. I'm liking her looks online. They've got like this ratchet undead zombie like appeal,
mm-hmm.
which I'm in love with.
Yeah, and I love the name.
Yes. Yes. Coco Kane, it sounds festive.
Now, I feel like we have to talk about the elephant in the room, Ms. J. Jolie. What are your thoughts? Well, okay. What are your thoughts on J. Jolie? And then what are your thoughts on J. Jolie being cast on Dragula?
Okay. My thoughts on J. Jolie. J. Jolie as the individual that I was introduced to on Drag Race. Don't like her. I don't think I would like her in person. Her attitude and energy was very off-putting and backstabby. I liked her looks. I liked what I've seen of her before, even on just her social media. So I think that stands there. I like that. I'm not excited to see her on Dragula,
mm-hmm.
honestly. And in the promo look, just to be transparent of how I feel about it, I just saw Ariana Grande. That's what I was getting. I was like, okay, this is cool. I know you're here, so.
Yeah, I feel like for Jay to come out and be like, well, I can also be a drag super monster, I would like a taste of that in your promo look.
Yes.
And like, we haven't gotten that.
Nothing at all. I mean, and there's not even the gimmicky bloods and things. Like, you
yeah.
could have worn all white. He could have still fit a monster.
Right, right. See, my thing is, it was all white, which white can be scary. Think, like, you know, mental asylums, things like that. But it was a very clean white. It was, like, honestly, like, if she had, like, a dirty, like, white denim, that might have looked better with, like, rips. Or, I don't know, something. But it was just very, like, angelic, almost. Like, angelic trying, like, S&M for the first time.
There you go. It was like she went on Fashion Nova, and she's like, oh, let me throw the dress on. Oh, I gotta, like, drag this up. Let me get this little mask. And she just threw it on. I was mm-hmm. like, okay, well, this is something.
Yeah. Or maybe she's trying to throw us off. Who knows?
I hope. I am going to keep my mind open for the performance of the individual who is known as J. Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have much for the attitude just yet because it was so bad.
Well, so my take on J. Jolie is that, one, it's hard to get over the Nazi porn.
Yeah.
And there's this whole discussion online where she actually finally addressed it after being cast on Dragula and getting called out. And she, you know, she apologized for it, and then she said she was kind of in a situation where she was semi like coerced into doing it. And from my understanding of it, from like the details of what I've heard, is that it's not so much that she was coerced as in she didn't want to say no. type of thing. And it was just kind of like, oh, well, like I'm in a situation where I could use this money. Why not? Type of, that's kind of how more how I see it seemed to have gone on from what I've read. And besides all that, like you said, even the time on Drag Race where like your most famous line is when you fat shame someone. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know, I follow some of the gossip channels, and there is stuff out there on J. Jolie, like about her like being a complete asshole to people and like screaming at people and like being manipulative and trying to get people fired and like doing all this stuff. That's like, if there's enough whispers, it's like, well, maybe some of this could be true.
Everybody's not lying. After all of the things that I've heard, and I forgot about the fucking Nazi porn. I actually completely forgot about that. But that brings me to something I was thinking about her in another situation that I've heard of somebody doing something that was really racist, to be honest. I don't feel like you can excuse that away. Not in this day and age, not with the education or resources that are out there. There's no excuse for the behavior. No matter how desperate you were for money, you still know that this has deep roots in hate and racism.
Right. So, like, we all learned about Nazis in middle school.
Right.
So it's like if someone was like, hey, do you want to go, like, hunt this black person for money? It's like, it's down the same mentality lines.
Right.
It's like, oh, you were like, yeah, sure, let's do this terribly racist thing for money.
Right. And you know, later, celebrity or whoever it was would come out, oh, I was uneducated. No, you weren't. You knew what the fuck this was, and now you're just claiming ignorance, or you're saying that I had a reason to do this racist action. No, that's actually who you are. You actually agree with the mindset, no matter what you took the position for. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, and I try to be mindful, too, of, like, okay, people can grow. I think you proactively need to show that, and, like, I shouldn't have to be like, well, like, what are you doing to be different now? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, I guess a lot of the boudoir scenes will show us now, like, is this continuing to happen? This, like, bratty little behavior from Drag Race? Or is this maybe, like, a different Jade?
I hope that there's a change. Honestly, still, the vote's kind of sailed for me. I'm not really looking forward to the personality itself. But if she presents some good looks, I'll at least root for her in the show. But quite frankly, bitch, I ain't streaming your shit, and I'm not going to any of your shows. So, and I won't tip you if I do. I will be that person. There is one queen I want to ask you about, and I'm still up on the like rocks about her, Mary Cherry. I'm excited to see what she's going to present. I was looking more at her IG. She does have some scary there where it's like, boo, scary. But then she's also got that like fill that I'm kind of looking at. She's a little slutty. So have you looked at her? Or what do you think of her promo?
Which one is Mary Berry?
She's the queen who has on the purple like dress and the earrings.
With the earrings.
Holding up the dress.
Yeah, okay. I think it's for a look, period. Mm-hmm. I think it's too simple. Like, if I could pull it together,
yeah,
it's too simple. I'm sorry. I have zero experience, but that one outfit is just pulled on and it's, like, hooked to your earring.
Yeah, it's fresh out of the box. I can't lie.
So, I also hope that's kind of, like, trying to throw us off to be like, oh, like, this is me. I'm just, and then, like, bam. You know? Now, what about the cast from the Resurrection show? Who was your favorite there?
My favorite in the Resurrection show was Saint.
Okay.
Saint was my favorite, hands down. I was so sad to see Saint go so early in season 3. Mm-hmm. I was excited to see every look they were going to present. So, Saint was my favorite. What about you?
Well, just like season 3, Priscilla being one of my favorites, I think I went into Resurrection hoping for Priscilla to win. I'm also a very big fan of Dolly in general. And the artwork there is just like amazing and like unmatched. I am curious about, so if you remember like Resurrection, like spoiler alert, in Resurrection there's at the very end Dolly opening his eyes and that's it, then they cut to like the credits or whatever, but like that was kind of a sign that Dolly's gonna come back.
I hope so. I
and
really
I'm like, is
so.
She gonna be like the surprise girl? She gonna be the Shangela?
If she's the Shange, I will be incredibly happy. Or who knows? Maybe this means she could be the Raven.
Oh yeah,
and, like come through and just be little cameos in the season. Something good could happen. Or she could be the pork chop.
Yeah,
which, I mean, it still isn't a bad gig. I'm excited though. I really hope she comes back.
Yeah, and honestly, I really like Resurrection. I've been meaning to rewatch it because one, it was so personal with a lot of their stories. After I watched Resurrection, I went to watch season one again because then I feel like I got to appreciate Loras more and Frankie Doom.
Frankie Doom.
Yeah.
I was introduced to Frankie in Resurrection. Fell in love.
Yeah, I love Frankie Doom. Great personality. And I feel like in season one of Dragula, because it was so, like, low budget, it was just kind of, like, so real.
Like, you know that this is the struggle show, and yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
So, I don't know. Yeah. My favorite season thus far, I would have to say, has been, it's probably going to be lame, but The Resurrection. Mm-hmm. Just because I liked the three particular challenges for The Resurrection.
I can agree with you there. I really liked Resurrection because, you know what it gave me? It gave me the feel of watching a documentary, but watching Dracula at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt, like you said,
yeah,
intimate. It was close. I really liked it.
Yeah. Like, at first when it started, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. But then it progressed. I was like, oh, I really like this.
Like, I never watch a show without fast-forwarding through something.
Mm-hmm.
Something's going to bore me. I was like, oh, this. I didn't move at all. And it was that damn good.
Yeah, definitely excited. Any takeaways about Dragula? Anyone else that you want to talk about that we haven't really talked about?
One thing. Two things. What was your favorite elimination challenge? And are there any challenges you're hoping that they do in this new season that they haven't done yet?
So, I feel like it would be, I don't know how, also because, I don't know how, but I feel like maybe a Fear of the Dark challenge would be cool. But then again, dark isn't scary to everyone. But then again, not everything is scary to everyone. My favorite challenge would probably be the one where they had to do like the operation game and then where they got electrocuted.
That was a good one.
That was fun. The one that I think would get me eliminated is eating anything. Cannot eat anything gross. But the one that I feel like would be hardest for me, but I would be able to do it and get through, would be the one where they got the needles pierced through them.
Okay. I think I could have done the needle piercing because I like piercings. I just love it. That one I think I could have done probably the easiest.
Well, see, for me, with the needle piercing, the scary part is not the pain, it's the scars, because I scar terribly. And gotcha. Especially, like, a needle that big would definitely keloid on me.
Okay, I can understand that.
So that's my fear.
I can understand that. See, I would have been eliminated season 3, the very first day, if I was Landon Cider. Landon had to eat a tarantula, spoiler alert, I should have said that before, but I had to eat a spider. I would miss it home. I can eat things, but as soon as you put down the spider in front of me, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you have to say it's got to crawl on you, you just gotta stare at the bitch for 20 minutes, I'm out. I'm gone. Not doing it. My favorite elimination challenge, it's kind of hard. There was the jumping out of the plane in season 2, but then in season 3 when Hollow had to get the armpit tattoo, that one was, I was like, ooh, I kind of like both of these. But I think the armpit tattoo wins it for me.
I would not like an armpit tattoo.
Oh, I hear they hurt. I hear they just hurt. But I think that's all I got.
What about what elimination would you like them to do next season?
I would like for them to do something with, like, a falling car out of the sky or something. It sounds incredibly deadly. But like, so like a, you're on an object and it falls from a super far height, or maybe you're underwater and got to do something to get out of the water. I would like to see something like that.
Okay, cool. Huh. You like something with a piranha.
Ooh. Yes, now that outspun the piranha. But it's just one piranha.
So yeah, like one way. Piranha.
I would do that. I would do that. Just one in the lake. Let's go.
All right. Well, I'm excited for this new season coming up. And, I mean, there's plenty of girls we didn't really get a chance to talk about, but we are limited on time. If you heard any audio issues through this episode, no, you didn't.
You didn't hear a thing.
And, yeah, thank you for joining us this week, guys. And tell us who your favorite Dracula bitches are.
Yes. Tell us, share, comment, like, share, whatever.
Bye.
Bye.